This is the Pedestrian Podcast.
I don't know. That's just what pedestrian, average, mediocre receivers do. What's up? What's up? My man Deion Sanders, we all right, huh? We all right? Yeah, we all right. We gonna go to the Super Bowl again, being all right.
The official podcast of the UK Seahawkers. Here are your hosts, Stuart Court.
Le'Veon Bell wants to be paid as an offensive weapon, when if you're the Steelers, he's come across as a bit of a weapon himself in different ways.
And Adam Nathan.
It's tricky because Hugh Jackson said nothing for me to shove him in.
We are going to follow you. Gotcha, you lead us. Gotcha. Okay? Let's go do it. Like I told you before, you lead us to darkness, we will follow you.
Go Hawks.
Welcome to the Pedestrian Podcast, emanating live, I love saying that, from the Barrow Boy and Banker in London Bridge, in the heart of London, the city of London, as the first day of Seahawks events at this venue kick off later today, ahead of the Seahawks Raiders game at Wembley Stadium on Sunday afternoon. Special Pedestrian Podcast, myself, Stuart Court, is so, unfortunately, however, joined as ever. Well, Mr. Adam Nathan, how are we, sir?
You can say unfortunate all you want, but we've already done this podcast basically once through already, and you've ballsed up the recording once, and you've introduced us five times. That's just why the beer's good, because otherwise I'd be out.
This is quite cool, isn't it?
It is immensely cool. We're looking at probably 70 or 80 Seahawk fans, blue and green all over the place. I got friends from Alaska, Edinburgh, just met someone from Nashville who's come over, so people are really representing all their numbers, and it's amazing.
It's only Thursday. There's still 3 days to go.
Yeah, it's going to get loose, I think.
It's going to be quite a weekend. So obviously, we're everyone here. It's not only just here to see London. It's obviously for the game on Sunday against the Oakland Raiders. There's a lot of storylines, but obviously, the Seahawks have a chance to keep up the goodwill, the good feeling coming out of Sunday, don't they?
Yeah, I mean, last week was amazing to watch, but so far this season, they've either played up or played down to their opponent's level. So this is a real time, you know, against a pretty weak side to really go out there and just bash them up and play a bit of Seahawk football that leads to winning football as well. Because right now it's been fairly passive. The only reason, we were very aggressive against the Rams because we kind of had to be to keep up the scoring. But that's what we want to see from them every week.
Yeah. But the planning side of it, the Seahawks landed about an hour ago. The Raiders leave in about an hour. It's not foolproof,
is it? I think
that'll
make a big difference. I mean, the time difference and the jet lag people are going to have, if you're only here for 36 hours, unless they are just not going to sleep and unless they're going to completely keep themselves on West Coast time, which maybe they will do, and I don't know, like, and treat it as a 10 a.m. game and go to sleep and wake up when they would for...
That's the thing, it's a 10 a.m. game. It's a body clock for 10 a.m. I mean, you saw a few years ago when the Seahawks had like five or six 10 a.m. games, they changed the whole preseason training camp schedule to make the most of that. They haven't done that this week. They've got all the work in as a normal game week.
Yeah, I mean, Seahawks playing a 10 a.m. game on grass is normally a sign of absolute disaster. So I guess we have to hope that they can turn it around this time. Yeah. And the spirit of London can imbue them and fill them with joy, and they go out there and kick some ass.
Yeah, well, they're facing the Raiders technically on the road. Obviously, the Raiders are also on the road, but it's Seahawks at Raiders. They haven't won a road game against the Raiders since 1997. The last time they played a road game against the Raiders was 8 years ago on Halloween, when they lost 33-3 in the Coliseum. I'm pretty certain Pete Carroll credited that game for the reason he hired and gave the keys to the offensive line to Tom Cable for 7 years. So not everything good comes out of this matchup, does it?
Not necessarily. I have to say, I can barely even hear you because there's so many fans here talking so loudly. Probably picking it all up in the background noise is going to ruin the whole pod, but you know, that's just normal for us having a ruined podcast, so nothing to worry about there.
Yeah, and obviously old AFC West foe as well, so only the Seahawks only played the LA Chargers more than they played the Oakland Raiders. As for the game, obviously a lot of it centres, as always, as it does every week, on the quarterback. This isn't the greatest defence in the world. Obviously made the brilliant decision to trade away Khalil Mack, the old generational pass rusher. They have a 24% pass rush success rate per PFF. There's a chance for Russell Wilson to do what so many quarterbacks have done to us over the years and slice and dice a bang average defense.
You hope so. I mean, they have no speed and no pass rush. You have to hope there's going to be an ability to get in behind them, get the play action working well again. You know, if you can do play action against people like Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, you should be able to do it against the Raiders. It is very, very Spursy that Oakland got rid of Khalil Mack and he still found a way to bash us up one game this season. You can't script that.
Obviously, also, Doug Baldwin has only been speaking this week about someone related, Marshawn Lynch, and now the impact he had, not only on him personally with the backpack story, which was very cool. If you haven't seen it, go and find it. But he seems to get it. I think Greg Bell said he just seems to get it more than anyone else. And one catch for 1 yard over last weekend, and not much in the desert in Arizona the week before. He could be someone who's slowly going to get back to as healthy as he's going to get. He could be someone who's going to have that game we all expect him to have every week.
It would be amazing if this could be his coming out party for the season. He's by far my favourite player, and I'd love to see him, you know, 2 touchdowns, 160 yards through the air. That would be an absolute dream world.
But the way he talks is not many other Seahawks.
He's the elder statesman of the team now. He is. If the captain wasn't always Russell Wilson, he would be the offensive captain, in my opinion. Like, he is the guy that, he's the heartbeat of the mentality of the Seahawks for me, and lost so many leaders this offseason, but he is one that remains as a real out-and-out leader of this team, who I imagine everyone looks up to immensely. Yeah.
I think we've both said that we kind of tune out the coach and the quarterback. He's someone, when he talks, you listen, don't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's also for the Seahawks in offense, the running game.
A bit like me, really, when you talk. When I talk, you listen.
Not many people listen. You look at our stats.
Well, that's very true.
So as we also have the running game is another part of this. It's going to be a big thing on Sunday. Mike Davis, Chris Carson seem to be ahead of the queue. Trade deadline's coming up. JD McKissick is going to be healthy after the bye week. It's going to be interesting to see how the usage is again, as has been every week, but also what they do during that bye week with the depth they've now got at the position.
Yeah, I mean, I saw someone talking about trading Rashad Penny on Twitter, which I know Twitter is a hotbed of annoying at times, but I mean, that does seem like a pretty crazy thing to have heard, which I can't quite imagine is going to happen. But Penny seems way down the pecking order right now. It does seem like Chris Carson's keys and Mike Davis, you know, is in the backseat, ready to take advantage, and on the goal line. It looks tricky for Penny right now.
I mean, I haven't seen what Stratton Hyman said this week. Is he focused in on one thing, so we know what's coming on Sunday?
I haven't heard his conversation either. It was a couple too many whiskey sours for us last night to pick up on what Brian Schottenheimer was saying, is when we normally record.
Yeah, Pete Carroll said that Rashad Penny has had conversations with him about his frustration. I mean,
is that right, Carroll?
Rightly so as well. Rashad Penny, he's a first round pick, spent all summer loading him up, and absolutely nothing through 5 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I would be pissed off, but ultimately he doesn't look quick. He doesn't look as healthy as I would imagine a first-round running back. You know, compare like the body shape of someone like Todd Gurley to Rashad Penny. Looks pretty chalk and cheese at the minute.
Yeah, and obviously a big part of that run game has been the O-line in recent weeks. The Seahawks offensive line ranks 7th in the NFL in pass blocking efficiency per Pro Football Focus. Over the last 3 weeks, they ranked 2nd. I mean, Mike Slary is a bit of an under-the-radar hire, but especially with DJ Fluka, who's a massive human. The mix right up there, aren't they?
And it's nice not to have to hear every week, oh, Seahawks offensive line coach Tom Cable, he's a miracle worker. It's, you know, Solari is obviously an understated guy. He goes about his business, he gets the job done, and he does brilliantly.
Yeah.
And the offensive line looks, it looks functional for the first time in ever.
The Fluka highlights against the Dolphins too are quite enjoyable to watch.
Everything about DJ Fluka is fun to watch. He was dancing in the locker room on Justin Britt's Instagram, and that was just crazy. He seems like a guy who's come in and been a real leader of this team and that offensive line group, who needed someone to come in and say, this is not good enough.
Just to prove that we're live. That's like the third one so far.
If you had any doubt where we were, that should sum it up.
Fluka is only a 1-year deal. Free agent, I mean, we've lived through the Luke Jokel, Jamarcus Webb years, but they've finally got someone who's contributing in a positive way on that line, haven't they?
I mean, we all thought it was a bit of a joke, you know, signing another, you know, previously hyped up guy, apparently a brawler, apparently a mauler. You know, that doesn't seem to work out for us, but this year it's worked out so far, a treat. But even more so, bloody J.R. Sweezy as left guard. Yeah. It's been unbelievable.
I mean, it took what? Was it fourth year, fifth year as a Seahawk? And finally they went, oh, we'll put him outside. But with Fluka, that's another thing where the Ibushi, the Jokals and all that. That was Tom Cable. Solari, obviously handpicked Fluka from the Giants.
Played for Solari at the Giants. Yeah.
That's another good a plus thing for Solari, isn't it?
100%. Yeah, that's an amazing pickup.
Yeah, so on Sunday, Pete Carroll is going is trying to become the winningest head coach of Seahawks history. He currently has 90 wins as a Seahawks head coach. I'm not sure he'd have written up London as the venue for his 91st, would he?
He must be so pissed off. He doesn't seem that happy that he has to come over in the first place, you know, what with the travel and, you know, talked about it being like a bowl game, which is a bit of a shame. It would be nice to see a bit more enthusiasm from the team, but he doesn't seem that pleased about it, but I imagine he'll be very happy indeed to become the winningest coach in Seattle.
I think he'll be quite glad to get on the plane back, on the verge of way back to Seattle. But on the defensive side, it's not often an NFL team faces their fourth all-time rushing leader, is it, when a guy, they've got 6,347 yards, is on the opposite sideline, and that's what we're going to see this weekend with 24 Marshawn Lynch.
Well, as I said in our first recording of this podcast this afternoon, Marshawn's a guy who you kind of want to see us win by 20 points, but he scored three touchdowns. That'd be a dream day. I think he'll get a reception like no player's ever had at Wembley.
I mean,
before.
He's still held and will forever be held with an affinity like no other, really. With fans
and
players.
Very hard to make a case against him being the most influential ever Seahawk player, if you ask me. He brought the mentality, he brought the attitude that turned us into winners, and he was the kind of guy that gave Carl Thomas, Richard Sherman, the confidence to have that Seahawk style, and I think that was all through him.
Yeah, it's a big point for that defense is going to be stopping him, and Jaron Reed is slowly emerging as one of the best run defenders in the league. But outside of that, Rasheen Green's not playing. Deion Jordan probably will be a game time thing. Maybe we'll be able to put a suit on. So it's going to be a lot on Jaron Reed in the middle of that defense to get the penetration and get number 24.
And it's very weird that Naz Jones is just not getting a look at all. Because you and I both said at the start of the season, you know, you've lost Sheldon Richardson, you're losing Michael Bennett, you're losing Cliff Averill. So, you know, Naz Jones and Jaron Reed are going to be the interior of that defensive line. And it's just not been like that at all.
The games, you know, I think last one he played, he only had six snaps. So very strange happening with the second year player out of North Carolina. But I name one player, but it's going to take more than that. Just one player to bring down Marshawn, though, isn't it?
We know full well it takes more than one. So they've got to bottle him up, keep him probably, try and keep him in the tackles. Don't let him bounce outside, because that's where he's at his most dangerous. It's that change of direction that does you. You know, that Beastquake 2 in Arizona, probably my favourite ever play for the Seahawks, where, you know, goes left, bounce out right, and somehow just come back round to the left again. Guy's just a phenom, and yeah, it'd be great if we could win, but he could go off and have a great day as well.
I do keep expecting him to walk in here at some point over the weekend as well, because it's...
Yeah, I mean, considering their flight doesn't take off until about half an hour, it would be a surprise. It would be a surprise if he landed, but I'm not going to rule anything out, because it's already turned into a crazy week.
It's going to be insane. Last week, the Seahawks defense secondary faced three receivers, well, they injured two of them. Three receivers who are emerging this year. They've got Julian Nelson, Jared Cook, Amari Cooper, who have been there, done that for 5-6 years in the league. It's going to be a different test.
And Martavis Bryant.
It's going to be a different test this week. It's going to be a lot more experience, a lot more savvy, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, 2-3 years ago, you'd be absolutely bricking it going up against Amari Cooper, Julian Nelson, Martavis Bryant, and Jared Cook. They're probably on the slightly the wrong end of age right now, but, you know, they're still dangerous players that need to be respected. And actually, the Oakland, who have not been a great looking team, their offense hasn't done an awful lot wrong, as they just have nothing on defense to stop anyone. And Derek Carr has thrown some backbreaking interceptions, but, you know, the offense has not been that bad.
No, I mean, they put up
and certainly needs to be respected
against the Browns,
who are a decent defense.
Getting an interception on every drive, it seems. Denzel Ward is walking his way to a defensive rookie of the year. So confidence ahead of Sunday?
I am confident. Yeah. I think we're going to win. I think we're going to win by 10. I really thought going into the Rams game that we would lose both of them and lose this one as well. But right now, I'm maybe because I'm full of the spirit of the Seahawks. You know, the sun's been out all day. The sun was out yesterday. We had a great time yesterday with some friends over from Seattle, so I'm feeling like a really good Seattle spirit. So maybe that's making me a bit biased for the score, but I think we're going to win probably 30-20 on Sunday.
I think I've got 30-16 in our group on our pick on. Obviously, not just being in London this game 4 years ago, mate. It was a bit different story in this game, wasn't it, 4 years ago?
It's where we walked in and bumped each other for the first time and met before the Raiders game, wasn't it?
The result of it is this podcast, so not everything works out the best.
So, sorry.
The 4 years ago, obviously, another one that we're going to see on Sunday, Bruce Irvin, had possibly the best play I've ever seen in person, that unreal pick six on. I mean, he's the other one who's going to get like the weird mild applause on Sunday, isn't he, when he takes the field? And
yeah, I mean, he'll certainly give Bruce a bit of a rep because he was a great Seahawk, and it was a shame that he's not still there.
And he follows me on Twitter, so it's always good.
Does
for that.
Does he?
Yeah, so score predictions 30-20.
Cool.
One to watch out on four on offense.
I'm going to go Doug Baldwin to have his breakout game of the season so far.
Ooh, I like it. Offense, I'm going to go with, I think Nick Minette could be the guy. As Jackson Bevan said, he looks like he's running in neck high water or wherever it was.
That was very funny.
He's not the quickest guy, but he is effective. I think he could be, he's starting to look the part finally in the absence of Will Disley last week. So I think he will be the guy. Defensive, one to watch.
I'm going to go with Bradley McDougal to continue his amazing form at the start of the season. One pick and one forced fumble for McDougal.
Especially
this weekend
with Marshawn, him and Bobby and Maurice Alexander, and all that are going to be important in bringing him down as quick as they can. So, yeah, so obviously we are here at the Barrel Boy and Banco. Now we're going to try and get some people to jump on if they will. So yeah,
we'll try and hear a few stories and get a few interviews with people, and for the first time ever in podcast history, I think we'll join you after the break.
What's going on, guys? This is Michael Robinson and you're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast.
So the first interview we've ever done live as a part of the podcast, we're in the pub and I'm joined by Anna, who is the president of the Renton Seahawkers, who have a great relationship with the UK Seahawkers. We're always in touch and we bump into each other at home games and now road games. And how's your trip going so far?
You know, it's amazing. We flew out actually Tuesday at 2 p.m., but of course got in Wednesday at 7:25 in the morning. And we were flying with Mike Ferrari from Como, and we had these special jerseys made for about 10 of us that were in our group, white jerseys, 12s, but the 12s were the green and blue London flag, a British flag behind it, and our names on the back. And so, of course, he saw us, and we're holding up our British Seahawks flags and our jerseys. And now, of course, the Facebook goes crazy. We saw you on the news last night. We saw you on the news. And it's just fun. I try to travel to a couple away games a year. Of course, London's a little more expensive, so this will be the big one. But we have a big turnout from, I've seen the Renton Seahawkers here. The Kitsap Seahawkers over on the peninsula are here, and I've seen some South Sound Seahawkers. And for those that don't know, being a Seahawker, we've been around just as long as the team has. Mm-hmm. We are we're a booster club, and our main goal is charities. Mm-hmm. And so each one of us picks different charities in our local area where our chapter is. We get a lot of help and involvement with the Seahawk organization, alumni players that will come out. We have one for the Renton Seahawkers coming up. It's a BOO Friday on the 26th of October, and 100% of the net proceeds are going to a local Renton charity called Birthday Dreams. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they give birthdays to children that are, you know, in transition, maybe living in some type of foster home, the families can't afford it, and so it's going to be a great event. But we do things like that. We collect toys for Ronald McDonald House all year round. We have a Reach program, which helps place women, but that's what the Seahawkers do. And then, of course, we support our team, and we have a big thing in Touchdown City where we invite people in before the games and celebrates, and yeah.
So when we're in Seattle, we're normally the celebrities because we're the crazy guys from London and the UK that have come over. Yeah. I think you guys might be crazier because you're fully decked out in all the Seahawks stuff.
Yeah.
And people in London, we're in London Bridge, which is a very business district area, and we're in the pub right now. You've either got people in Seahawks stuff or people in suits because they've just left their bank for a lunch break.
It really is.
You must feel like a real celebrity right now.
It's quite funny. You know, we're getting on and off the tube as we're traveling back and forth between our flat and finding the Seahawks.
Good lingo, the flat, not the apartment. That's very, I'm impressed.
I'm trying. And everyone's so reserved on the subway because they're trying to get somewhere. And then there's us, you know, these loud Americans, because I do realize we're quite a bit loud.
No, I would never say that about
never.
You guys. Never.
Oh, never.
So you know the subway rules, yeah? If you're on an escalator, you have to stand on the right. So I took the train with Walter Jones yesterday as a name drop, and he was standing on the left. And a woman who was about 4'10", and maybe 100 pounds soaking wet, there were yellow flags flying. He blocked her in the back. She smashed him out the way. Walter's 6'7" or whatever he weighs. This woman was like a tall drink of water, and she was like, get out of my way.
He should know better because New York, in the big cities, even in Seattle, you stand to the right. Even on the moving walkways
these
in the airport.
These Hall of Famers. These Hall of Famers.
Walt, shame on you, Walt.
Who do they think they are? We're going to tell him that later.
I'm going to tell him that later on because, of course, Walter Jones, Jacob Green, Jordan Babineau will all be here tonight at 7 for the fantastic trivia. Mm-hmm. And then I believe DJ Super Sam, right, is going to be spinning a little music.
So what else have you done in London so far?
Oy, I know. Barely slept,
You can't sleep. You've got to get into London time as
well. No. I just had an amazing meat pie.
Good.
And it actually was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. It was so good.
Good.
Very good. Had some beers. Went to... the Buckingham Palace.
Yeah.
But we went last night when it was all lit up, and it's just gorgeous. Many of us in our group, we have 14 staying in our flat, so they've done all different types. You know, some have been to the Ben, and some have been to the Eye and the Palace, and some went to the Shard today and went up on top, and I think others, maybe we're going to go to Stonehenge, but
nice.
I really would like to go to Bath on Monday.
Okay, so how long are you guys in town for?
Most of our group leaves on next Tuesday,
okay.
But a friend of mine, we're going to Ireland for a few days and then to Edinburgh, Scotland, to go visit some of my family.
Fantastic.
And then we fly back Monday, the following Monday.
That's making a big trip out of it.
22nd. Yeah,
that's
why not?
A good trip. Too right.
You're over here.
We always get the most amazing hospitality when we're in Seattle. How's hospitality been in London so far from the UK Seahawkers? Are you enjoying your time?
Oh, from the UK Seahawkers, it's been absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, don't worry about the other Brits. They're not part of us.
No, they're not smiley.
No.
But again, I think we discussed that. We're sort of more in a business district.
A little bit.
And we get our loud, big smiles and hi, how are you? And they just sort of look at us like, I need to go. I need to go. I got to get on the tube. I got to get to work. But otherwise, no, it's been great.
Now, you should never let the game get in the way of a day at the football. That's an English phrase. Never let the game and the result get in the way of what's been a good day at the football. But there is a game on Sunday. What's your score prediction going to be for the game on Sunday? I have 30-20 to the Seahawks.
Well, that's not a bad prediction, actually. People would say if they look at our record, of course, that we've been struggling. But if anyone watched that game last weekend against the Rams, most people thought we were just going to get bulldozed, and we'd be lucky if we got three.
I thought they were going to score 50 on us.
Yeah, and then there we were, coming down to the last seconds of a bad holding call that backs us up out of field goal range, and we end up losing by 2 points when we were that close to winning by one. So, and it was a high-scoring game. I mean, 30-32, I believe.
Something like that.
So, coming off of that and watching the Raiders not being that great this year, and I think Chucky is still kind of trying to figure out what to do with the team. It's tough because you watch Marshawn and he is still kind of carrying a team on his back. But yeah, I'm going to probably go somewhat similar in your range. I think I might go with like a 17-31.
I'll take it. Well, okay. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you guys have the most brilliant weekend. We always have the best time in Seattle, so hopefully we can replicate that.
Yeah, and you'll have to find me next time you're in Seattle. We'll get you into the Beast Bus and Hawk Alley.
Cannot wait.
Oh, the Hawk Alley tailgate. Don't forget that. That's on Sunday.
Okay, every Sunday?
It is, but we have one here. We brought the Hawk Alley tailgate
here. So where's that going to be?
So Fraser, mm-hmm. Loveman, who's originally from just outside of London, mm-hmm. helps run it, and that's with the Beast Bus. Have you ever seen the Beast
seen
Bus?
That.
So the Beast Bus runs the Hawk Alley, and where is the... What's the name of the bar? Oh, shoot. But it's phenomenal. If you do 60 pounds, they'll take you, they'll take you to and from the stadium.
Fantastic.
Obviously, food and drink included, and party food and drink when you get back. But it's the official Hawk Alley tailgate. I believe there's still tickets available.
Amazing.
And that is Sunday. And I'm so sorry, Fraser. I can't remember the name of the
we'll
car.
We'll link it on our Twitter, so don't want to throw it out.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks,
it's been a pleasure.
Sweetheart.
And can't wait to party the weekend away with you guys.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
All right, this is Michael Sean Dugard, and you're listening to the Pedestrian Podcast.
Right, as we make our way around the room at the Barrel Boy and Banquet in London Bridge, in the heart of the City of London, I'm joined by one of the long-standing, one of the more infamous UK Seahawkers, the Peppard, Terry Peppard, has sat down. How are we?
Hi, everybody. Yes, I'm fine. Yeah, I had a great day and I'm having a great week, and it's going to be an even fantastic weekend.
Fantastic-er, was that what you were about to say then?
Yeah, my English isn't the best because I'm from Dublin. Yeah.
So, you're famous now, aren't you? Not just infamous, you're famous.
Well, apparently everybody thinks I'm famous. I don't think I'm famous, you know, but I enjoy doing what I was doing, you know what I mean? It was nice talking to Aaron, you know what I mean, and just telling him about everything about what we do. As a chapter, UK chapter. Yeah, so yeah.
So, for anyone who hasn't seen it, go on the Facebook page, go and find Aaron Levine, Q13 Fox on Twitter. He's got two videos, Terry, two, with our own Peppard, talking about UK Seahawks and everything we're doing. So, why the Seahawks, and how did you get involved with this chapter?
Well, basically, back in the 80s, when Channel 4 brought it over, I, like everybody else, got into NFL with my brothers, and we decided to watch the game, learn the rules. After about the fourth week, we all decided to pick teams. I was the last choice, and I chose the Seahawks without even seeing them. You know what I mean? I just saw the scores whittering through, and I thought, I like the name, and, you know, I like a little bit of an underdog, although it was probably a good season for them that season, but, you know, the history of them was, they were struggling a little bit, you know what I mean? So I chose them, you know what I mean?
And then getting involved with the chapter, you went over for the first time, when?
2013, I went over for the first time on one of Ian's motherland trips, and it was the best time I ever had in my life. It was my bucket list to do it only once, you know what I mean?
And how many times have you done it?
Six times now.
And every year now, isn't it? Me and you and Adam and a few others were in New York last year, which was, that's quite a place and quite a weekend as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. Really, really enjoyed that. You know what I mean? But I enjoy everything about my trips out to see the Seahawks, because the family that we meet are such fantastic people, and they look after you, and everything about it is just out of this world, out of this world.
So obviously one person who's going to be looming large over this weekend is Mr. Ian Smith. Obviously, we lost him a couple of years ago, but this is his legacy, isn't it, really? So talk about his legacy a little bit, but also what he meant to you as a pal.
Well, basically, he was like, I would say like a father figure, although he was a lot younger than me. He was like a father figure, and he guided us through things, you know what I mean? And he, you know, things we had that we were unsure of, he'd help us out with, and he was really, really good. Really, really good. Yeah. You know, everything about Ian was fantastic. He looked after not just me, but everybody. You know what I mean? He was, like I say, a father figure. You know what I mean? And he loved it. He loved his Seahawks, but he loved his Seahawks family. You know what I mean? Really, really fantastic.
So, obviously, this weekend, this is pretty cool, isn't it?
It is fantastic. I cannot believe how many Seahawkers have turned up, you know what I mean? Not just UK, the Americans, the Germans, everybody. They're flocking in, and it's going to be fantastic. This is going to be the best Wembley has ever seen. We're going to make some noise.
But it has been a long time coming as well. Obviously, the Raiders were a team that Ian had an affinity for. Is that the right way to say it? It wasn't very popular, so it's quite poetic and fitting that it's the Raiders they're playing this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. As you know, Ian hated the Raiders. They were his most hated team. He called them scum, you know what I mean? But a little story I can tell you, it was my first time when Ian was sort of called us his rookies, and he took us round Seattle, showing us Pike's Place, the Underground Tour. he took us up to the top of the Space Needle, and we were walking round, and me and him were just talking face to face, and with him being much taller than me being a dwarf, he suddenly reached over and grabbed this bloke, and I didn't know who it was till he dragged him past me. And I was a bit worried at first, and then I realised it was John Schneider, wrapped his arm around him and said, when are you ever going to drag your team across the pond for us over there? You know what I mean? And John Schneider basically shat himself, you know what I mean? So, but because Ian was so big, you know what I mean? But I've still got the picture on my phone, you know what I mean? But it was just a fantastic time, and John Schneider was really nice. Once he realised he wasn't going to harm him, you know what I mean? He chatted with us. He had family in from Wisconsin, and he was showing them around Seattle. And basically, he still had time to have 15 minutes chatting with us about our UK chapter, you know what I mean? Really nice fella.
So this weekend, are you confident of the Seahawks win?
Oh, definitely. I think the Raiders aren't playing very well. And the way we played against the Rams, I think we will definitely win. Well, I always...
Score prediction?
I'm going to say, I'm trying to do it in the Gordon Wright tradition, as you know from New York, 21-45.
To the good guys, I guess the 45 is, yeah? Obviously, last night, it's Thursday, you've been awake, but yesterday, that's quite a funny evening, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was fantastic. I met Walter Jones, and that was the highlight of my Seahawks up to now, you know, my Seahawks following up to now, you know. And I bet Marcus Trufant, it was fantastic. I met a couple of, you know, other players as well. But
right, you don't have to name drop Terry.
Oh, sorry, yeah. You know, I'm famous now. Yeah.
Yeah, they were all excited to meet you as well. Enjoy your weekend. And thank you for jumping on.
Go Hawks!
I'm okay. I'm glad to be here. It's been a long old week, and it's been a long old journey down. But yeah, it's a really good turnout. The place looks great. Really looking forward to it. No, that word doesn't appear in my vocabulary, unfortunately.
So what have you been up to for the last 2 months getting planned for today?
The last 2 months has been mainly around the event for the Saturday night at Revolution. Tying all the details together. Working in the background with the team and the media and the guys from the committee have been absolutely superb to a man and woman. Can't thank them enough. This week has been pretty much about Seattle media. As they've come over, can we help them? Can we support them? Can we do this? Can we provide volunteers? So it's been the last minute jobs, I think, that... The sort of fan group and the booster chapter has been able to help with. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. I mean, it's nearly taken me as long to get here as it is to Seattle, but there's something ironic about it being here in London.
A city of this calibre, you know, it's right. It's like Mecca. You know, it's right that it should feel like a journey. Someone should tell Pete Carroll that, you know, it's right that it should feel like the journey's going on. So what's your week look like for the rest of it? Obviously, Sunday we've got the game. Thursday, we're recording on Thursday now in the afternoon. We're in the pub. Going to be not a quiet one this evening, you'd have thought. And probably the same tomorrow, Saturday, Sunday, and maybe Monday with a win. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, today is the only day that we, or me, or and me and Claire, have got a little bit of free time. So we're back here tomorrow night at the Barrowboy and Banker. We've got some bits to do with the team for their event on Friday night. Saturday, again, we've got a team event in the morning. I think a little bit of downtime in the afternoon, and then it'll be prepping for the Saturday night, and we've got a lot of people helping, a lot of hands that we're very grateful for. And then it's the build-up to the Saturday night, which, fingers crossed, we've planned everything as well as we can, we think, and we just hope that everybody's going to have a great time and really enjoy it. Why the Seahawks? Long time ago, I saw a game that preceded even knowing about the Seahawks with the Bengals and the 49ers, Super Bowl 83, I think, at the time. And then when the TV coverage started, mid-80s, 85, I think, if I recall, I sat down with my dad before the programme came on, and we picked three teams each. I don't even know why we picked three teams now. I can't remember.
It's like a game of FIFA, isn't it?
It is, it is. And the short story is, I picked three teams, the Seahawks, the Bengals, and the Bears, and quickly dropped the Bengals and the Bears, and it was the Seahawks ever since. It was a trip of a lifetime to go over to Seattle for the first time, and it's really not stopped since then.
And Oakland was the first time you saw them play, and that was the game where we all met, funnily enough, as well.
It absolutely was. When I say it was a trip of a lifetime, most of it was. Meeting you guys was, you know, part of that. But no, it was great. It was. It really was something that myself and our friend Mark thought we'd never get to do. We did. And it's been a set of happy coincidences since then. Absolutely 100%. Absolutely 100%. I never expected to be so well catered for over there, and this is our chance and opportunity to do exactly the same. Whether we can cram 4 years full into one weekend or not, I don't know, but we'll do our best.
So tell us about the chapter, how that's gone. Obviously we had the tragic loss of Ian Robert Smith, and you kind of had to pick up the pieces and become president and do a fantastic job. What does it entail, and what are your thoughts on how the chapter's going at the moment?
Well, I've got to say that it was a challenge at the time, because obviously it wasn't eight, you know, we had to pick it up from really a standing from a standing point.
He did everything.
Everything. He did everything to a man. I mean, it was his infectious personality, his enthusiasm. Bear in mind, you know, there were around 70 people in the chapter then. Everybody knew him. It was a very personal thing. Since then, I mean, we're up to, I think it's about 550 people now. So that's the growth over sort of 3 or 4 years. But we were very mindful to do things in exactly the same way that Ian would have wanted it. So, you know, there are certain things that were important to him, and we've just carried that on, and people can call it a tradition if they like, and that's fine by me. I'm more than happy with that. Oh. As I said, the coincidences are incredible. You think about certainly my first trip, our first trip to watch a game was the Raiders, you know. And come this weekend, it just had to be, didn't it? You know, and for anybody that thinks that Ian is up there looking down, you can absolutely believe it once he sees the team that we're playing come Sunday afternoon. Oh yeah, you know, you've only got to look at where people have travelled from, how many countries people have come from. I mean, it's a huge draw, but I think what you'll see from the UK group is something like we've never seen before. We've had meetups, you know, up to 100, 110 people. This is going to be off the hook.
So how do you capitalise on it? Well, capitalise. How do you keep it going? You know, this might be the only time the Seahawks ever play in London. So how are we going to keep that going and, you know, keep people feeling as part of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a challenge. I think we all understand and we all believe that the increase in numbers this year, of course, something London had to do with it. You know, it of course it did. We understand that. We acknowledge that. Where do we go from here? Well, you know, at the Barrow & Banker, we've got an opportunity to introduce the chapter and the UK group. Some very good people in here. There will be information about joining the chapter. A lot of things to cover off the charitable activities that we do. It's a great big family, and we just hope that everybody wants to become part of this great big family, and that's all we can ask. Oh, sorry, sir. From me. I would hope genuine hospitality, genuine warmth, an absolute welcome in every possible way. And that's not just game day, that's not at the stadium, that's walking around the streets of London, that's as people pass. I mean, I was in Rome last week, and I got two Go Hawks walking around the Coliseum. That's what we want to see. We just want that engagement between people, regardless of where they're from. Oh, absolutely.
There is a game going on, amazingly. You can easily forget about it. And I always say, never let the football get in the way of a day at the football. But there is a game going on.
I've got to say, this week has been particularly testing. So come Sunday, once the Saturday night event is out of the way, I feel like my job is... I've got a day off, basically. So for me, this weekend, when the game comes, I'm expecting great things from the team. I'm expecting Seattle to put a minimum of 30 points on the board, and I'm expecting to hold the Raiders to less than 20.
30-20 is my prediction, so I'm sitting next to you, so we might be all right.
Let's do that then.
Sean, thanks so much, and let's bring in the best weekend that the Seahawks have had in London, eh?
No problem. Cheers, Adam. Cheers, Steve.
Near side, intercepted! It's intercepted by Chancellor!
So this afternoon we also sat down with Jeff Richards, VP of Marketing and Community for the Seahawks, and we asked some amazing questions. Unfortunately for you, the listener, Stuart managed to over-record on that, so we haven't got any of the questions. But what we did ask him was how we get a community feeling between the UK Seahawkers and the Seattle fans. What's his favourite moment? How's he felt with the hospitality in the UK and other things like that? Enjoy the interview. There's some really interesting content here, and we really appreciate Jeff giving us 15 minutes of his time on such a busy afternoon for him.
Doing fantastic. This has been pretty fun this week so far. It's only early Friday, so yeah. So when we got the news, February, March, initially a little bit of shock and like, all right, what does this mean? But it has been so much fun just interacting with folks from the UK, from Germany, hearing the excitement with fans, whether they're from Seattle or they're from somewhere else in the world. And now to be here this week and to sit here all day and talk to people from Scotland to London, talk to somebody from New Zealand earlier, somebody from the Philippines, and over the state of Washington, so it's fun. Never met each other. All they have in common is spending, an hour or two here chatting with each other. It's a blast. So with the amount of just Seahawkers chapters that exist all around the world, you had an immediate sense that, this is something different. People are going to be interested in it. There's a sensibility in the Northwest, in Seattle. We hear it all the time. Folks travel really well from the Northwest. So every road game, whether it's in Carolina, New England, Dallas, or as we find out, here in London, our fans love to come, travel a little bit, see a new city, but, then go on Sunday and cheer for their team. So we figured there'd probably be a good response. I mean, the response has been more than I thought. Talking with folks at the NFL, they told us immediately, we've been dying to have you guys come over here. We know what kind of fan base you have, both here domestically and, in the UK, but also just, around the world. So they had an inkling all along this process here leading up to the game. They're just like, we can't believe how many Seahawks fans. We don't have enough tickets to get to all the Seahawks fans, which I know has been a pain. It's been, it's been tough for us too, but I can't tell you how fired up the NFL is to have our team here. So, it's a blast. But it's, 15, 20,000 maybe we end up with on Sunday. We'll see. I've talked to a bunch of people who've been to a game at CenturyLink Field. I've talked to some folks who've been to games on the road. I feel like there's two things that are central to being a Seahawks fan. I feel like number one, we all take pride in having an impact on game day, right? I mean, the 12 is retired because our fans early on made so much noise that the opposing teams, didn't know what to do on game day. So that's number one. Number two is just being a part of a community that, as it turns out, is worldwide. I think those two things are really at the heart of what it means to be a Seahawks fan, what it means to be a 12. So to come over here, I think fans have been thrilled to meet and interact with other fans from wherever. But also everybody I talk to is like, we're going to make so much noise at Wembley. That place is going to be rocking. You know, when the Raiders are on offense, they're, you know, they're going to feel like they're at a road game. So I cannot wait to sit in there at kickoff and to look around that first Raiders offensive series and just hear what kind of noise it is, to see the rally towels going, to see the flags going. And you know we're going to get that little goosebump moment, you know, where it's just like, oh my gosh, this has been months in the making. And so I'm looking forward to that for sure, and I think everybody else is too. So from a fan engagement standpoint, that is the most rewarding thing, is to just see how much the Seahawks mean to people. So for me, growing up in Seattle, at the 300 level of the Kingdom, I mean, Seahawks is coursing through my veins. That's all I know. So, you know I have that passion for it. But then to see people from the other side of the world and to hear the stories of how, you know, different fans like you guys selves have become Seahawks fans, every story is a little bit unique, but you can see it's personal to that person. So to me, it's incredibly humbling and such an honor to be a part of that, you know, just as a Seahawks fan, to see other fans get to have their first game, you know, get to go and experience that first game. It's amazing. But, you know, I would ask you guys, so for me, I mean, the Seahawks are in my backyard. I can go anytime I want. I just got to buy a ticket, right? But for you guys, you've been to the States, sure, but to have, when that announcement came out, the Seahawks are coming to London, they've been doing games here for whatever, 11, 12 years, you've been waiting for the Seahawks. What was that like to hear, all right, this is the year?
It's amazing. I mean, yeah, I got a call from friends in Seattle that work in the media, and you know, my aunt who lives in Redmond, she called me straight, like, oh my God, you must be so excited. And in a way, it's been weird because I've been fortunate enough that every year Stuart and I and friends go to a game. And part of seeing the Seahawks for me is vacation and seeing my family and seeing friends. So it was almost like, oh, I'm going to have to see them in London this year. But then actually, now that it's all twisted round, and you look at this, this is a pub in London with 100 Seahawks fans. It's something that I never thought I'd ever see. And also, we get the most incredible hospitality whenever we go over there. We've been bought tickets for Husky games, tickets for Seahawks games. People that we tailgate with came to my wedding 6 weeks ago because it was four sorts of friendship. And the chance to give that hospitality back is amazing to us. And, you know, I've been around every table here and said, you know, come and speak to us, you know, give us, we'll give you recommendations. And I think the chance to do that is really amazing. And I think the main thing about this weekend for us is that we get to, you know, we've always had a relationship between the American guys and the UK guys, but with the team and us, it's real now. And I, you know, I hope that we can find a way that we can keep that going as time goes on.
I think that's a great point. And again, that's one of those sensibilities of being a 12, being a Seahawks fan. You could pass somebody in a random, and I have, in a random airport somewhere, you know, in the United States, somewhere, you know, around the world, and you see that Seahawk logo or you see that 12, and there's the immediate Go Hawks, you know, and you have that connection. That's what makes sport special, I think, you know. And you look at football here, and it is, I mean, it is what it means to be from the UK, European. You have a football club, and I know it goes back. We don't have the history that these clubs do, but in 40 short years, you know, there is still this great community, and I it's fun to see. Again, just kind of like humbling is sort of the word I come back to, but to see how far it stretches, you know, and that it doesn't matter if you're from London and I'm from Seattle, we can sit down and we have an instant connection, and we might talk Seahawks for the first 5 minutes, but then we're going to get into, you know, life. So to have that instant icebreaker, I don't know, it's special. I mean, just lucky, right? Super blessed. Grew up in the Seattle area. Went to college in the Seattle area. I actually worked for the University of Washington for the Huskies in their athletic department for a little while. Then I worked for the Major League Baseball team in town, the Seattle Mariners, for a few years. You know, that goal, football, was what I loved as a kid. So when an opportunity came up to work with the Seahawks, I mean, I leapt at it and was stressed during the whole process of interviews and whatnot. and then landed a job. And I was like, okay, well, I know what I'm doing for the next 30 years of my life. You know, this is what I'm going to be doing. And I mean, this is my eighth season, and what a ride, you know, to come in two Super Bowls, to see what Pete and John have done with this franchise, what Paul Allen has done. And then you see guys like Russell Wilson come through, Doug Baldwin, Bobby Wagner come through, Marshawn Lynch, Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor. I mean, I could sit here and list off name after name. So what, like, a golden era. We'll all look back when we have kids, you know, in 20 years, and they start to understand what's going on. And we'll look back on this era as kind of the golden era of Seahawks football. I hope we're back in a couple more Super Bowls here in the next couple years, but this has been a special run. So to be a part of it as this kid who grew up, I mean, this is my team growing up. I mean, it's emotional, man. It really is.
So one thing you don't get that we unfortunately...
There's a ton of those moments, you know. I mean, you talked about Percy Harvin. I was sitting there in New Jersey at MetLife, lucky enough to sit 50-yard line, just a handful of rows up. I don't know how I dumb-lucked into those seats, but I remember, you know, it starts the second half. Percy Harvin goes flashing by. I sat down in my seat. I mean, you talked about, like, you just the emotion. I sat down in my seat and was just like, what just happened? Thinking in my mind, we're winning this game. Can you believe it? Not only us, you know, this us Seahawks, you know, but...
We won. At halftime, they were going to mount a comeback.
Absolutely. It's Peyton Manning. It's Peyton Manning. I mean, so to see that, that was special. Two other moments for me stick out. One of my job responsibilities is you know, things like events like this in London, putting on the parade. You know, I got to work on that. So for me, I got to walk the parade route with the parade vehicles. To walk down my, you know, my city, the streets. I love it. They got the I know every couple of minutes the Seahawks chant pops up. To walk down that street and see whatever 700,000-800,000 fans just waiting hours in the freezing cold to cheer the team on and to come together like that was special. The other one for me was that Green Bay game. So the following year, the Super Bowl didn't end how we wanted it to, but I rarely sit in my seats for the games. I'm usually sitting somewhere else or wandering around doing this and that. I actually sat in the seats with my wife, and as we completed that comeback, Russell Wilson to Jermaine Kearse in the end zone, I'm telling you, I've never seen it, even for the tip, because it was so unexpected that we came back that way. The place just erupted. I'm a bit of an emotional guy, but I was choked up. I was tearing up. I couldn't believe we did it, and here we are. We're going to another Super Bowl. You know, stomach turning a couple weeks later, but that was another one that stuck out for me. So there's always been a great following, right? You talk to people all the time who've been a fan for 42 years. So there's always been a really good following, but it exploded. The Seattle area, but also we get numbers nationally and even internationally. As soon as that, you know, that 2012 season, the Falcons game, leading up to that, the couple weeks before that, you could feel it. And then it was an explosion from there. And then what a special year the next year, win the Super Bowl. There's been plenty of excitement and drama, a lot of it positive, some of it, you know, kind of uncomfortable, and what does this mean? But through all of that, yeah, there's just been this explosion. I mean, just on the order of millions of fans that we've gathered up over the last, you know, 5, 6, 7 years. So that's been really cool to see. But then what's been really special, so I've got 2 kids, 3 and 5 years old. As a kid who grew up in Seattle, you know, I'm 40 years old. The Mariners, the Sonics, those were the teams having a lot of success, the Huskies. So, you know, I grew up, those were sort of the kings in town. Now, all these kids know is great Seahawks football, right? And so there's this new generation of kids who 10, 15, 20 years from now will just be dyed-in-the-wool Seahawks fans. That, you know, that's been cool, too. Basically, right? I mean, it's very similar. I mean... Ken Griffey is a pretty special guy. But I think, yeah, I think, you know, Russell, I mean, I talk to a lot of people. One of the things I hear the most, so a guy like Sean Wilson, you know, he told me his story about how he became a fan. So sidecar, but you know, passing. So that you talked about the games being on in the middle of the night, recording the game on VHS, and then passing these tapes around so that you could watch the game, any game. You know, hopefully it was your team, but to be able to watch some football, to do that, that's great. But you know, guys like Jim Zorn and Steve Largent were the early stars for the Seahawks. I talk to people. I mean, it feels like every week, who from all over the place. Oh yeah, Jim Zorn is the reason, or Steve Largent is the reason that I'm a Seahawks fan 40 years later. It'll be that same thing with Russell Wilson. You know, there's a lot of other guys, but he's pretty transcendent. So.
So I met Russell.
Absolutely. So, talking with you guys in the Seahawkers group, the enthusiasm, but also just, you know, sort of the excitement, and you talked about it, like wanting to return that hospitality. I mean, you don't need to do that, but that's what I you know, I think that's what
Seahawk community.
It absolutely is. We're family. That's kind of how I look at it. And it does feel like the sort of the red carpet has been rolled out this week. Certainly, you know, the folks at the NFL are excited to have us here, but the fact that, you know, a couple of blocks from this pub, there's going to be another bar packed with fans on Saturday night. Everyone just thrilled and excited that the Seahawks are here. I mean, it's awesome.